Hey guys, I got exciting news. October 21st, my new book, That's Crazy, No, That's God, is coming out. You need a copy for yourself. This is the book everybody's been waiting for. Not sure if everybody's been waiting for it, but I sure have been waiting for it. Hopefully you will enjoy this book, That's Crazy, No, That's God, Living the Supernatural Life Every Day of Your Life. Go get a copy for you, for your friend, for your family. October 21st, go get yours today. Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Welcome back, everyone. We are so excited to get into this show. I want to welcome our co-host, special guest co-host, Pastor Ernesto. Help me welcome him back into the studio. Thank you, Pastor Ernesto, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Fantastic.
I'm excited.
We're going to have a blast. We want to share with you guys on a topic that I feel like you and I can really, I don't know, testify to, if we could use that term. We want to talk about removing distractions, hearing and believing what God has for us despite what our circumstances look like.
That's a good topic.
And I know that that's tough sometimes because, man, our circumstances can change at all times. Any given moment, you know, if we look back on years prior or, you know, even just in the last, you know, few months or weeks, I feel like there's always something going on in our life that can really dictate our circumstance.
Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of want to discuss a little bit about what it takes to not allow us to be distracted or moved by our circumstance. So anything comes to mind for you, Pastor?
I mean, I don't know. I just think about, like, anything can become a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like just certain seasons of my life where things that have caused me to sin have become distractions, and even like ministry, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, because we could talk on both, because I know there's that distraction maybe when you're not fully in your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so we want to speak to that too. But then, I mean, we're not immune to it whenever we're in Christ.
Facts.
Also, those distractions can, you know, pull us away from our faith. So go ahead, keep
going. I think that's even sometimes easier to even be pulled in that direction. You could probably be easier distracted when you are in your faith by the things that we justify that are for God than opposed to like the sin thing. Because I think at a certain point you're like, nah, I shouldn't be doing this, you know, and you can kind of revert back. But when we kind of justify like, I'm doing this for God, you know, when those things become distractions, sometimes it's almost difficult to be like, nah, this is not a distraction. This is actually something that I'm doing for the Lord. And I don't know, I think what's important is to kind of sit down and be self-aware of our heart posture.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately that's kind of like the deciding factor of whether I'm being distracted or I'm not. Am I doing this for God?
Mm-hmm.
Is God even leading me to do this? Is this coming from a place of faith, or is he asking me to do this, or am I just doing this in my own understanding or for my own selfish gain, or because I think it's the right thing to do? Have I sought counsel? All these things that come to mind that can help us check the temperature of whether am I being distracted or not.
And I love that, because if we go back to maybe our early walk with Christ, it really starts with just knowing how to hear his voice, yes, you can. If you don't have that, you don't have what you're saying to go back to.
Facts.
So establishing that first, and I think it's a really good practice for us and to know, but then also as young believers to sort of be okay with like, man, I don't know. Is this the Lord? Is this me? Like, am I just listening to someone else? Or is it just because it's the pastor that says it? Or it's just because I, you know, heard it on a cool reel or whatever. But hearing God's voice for yourself and knowing that it's him, like, I think is really fundamental to navigating any circumstances or avoiding distractions. What was that
crucial
like for you? Like, knowing to hear God, you know, and I'll share for myself too.
I think it was, like you said, practicing hearing God's voice.
Because
I don't know, even I think from a discipleship standpoint, like even teaching people how to run to God.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can become the crutch of the voice that they run to, as opposed to teaching them how to run to God. But for me, it was just spending time with God, you know, and crazy enough that I kind of got really good at that in a season of sin, like in a season of restoration, where like, I don't know, I you know, my life was in a place where I was sat down and I was told, It just needs to be you and God.
You and I, brother. You and I here. We're clapping because we can share it, not because we're celebrating.
Yeah, facts. Like,
I have been in that process before of, like, you know, being sat down. And for those who don't know, it's just a ministry term for, you know, removing yourself from a platform or a speaking position or a leadership position because of a fall, because of something of sin. So I've experienced that in the past. Pastor Ernesto's experienced it in the past. So, and it's funny that you brought it up because I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him. I'm like, oh, this is, you know, we have this in common. But it is sort of what, you know, what I felt like God was kind of highlighting, because not many people do. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I do give Pastor Ernesto honor in those things of, like, man, when there is a fall, when there is a sin or a mess up or a distraction or falling away from the path, there is so few people that I have seen come out of it or endure, like we said, staying the path like Pastor Ernesto has and like I have done myself, you know? Mm. And so it's kind of like, it's hard to have conversations with others who sort of want to opt out so quickly and so easily whenever it's like, dude, I've done the hard work. I know that it's possible. Like, I'm not just telling you this out of, like, my imagination. This is from my own experience, you know? And so I don't even remember how we got there, but I just got excited that you brought it up because I didn't want to talk about it.
Even, I don't know. Like, one thing that strengthened, that helped me was, like, trusting in the fact that he's good.
Yeah.
You know, he's faithful. Like, but, yeah, in the midst of that season is when I learned to kind of listen to God and go to God and spend time with God and consult with God and ask him, like, man, about myself, about what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, like, just to reveal things in my life, because, like, I don't know, outside of myself, I'm lost, you know, without God, I'm lost. So I kind of became dependent, which I think is the key, depending on his voice and depending on his instruction to kind of lead me, because I was broken, you know. And I feel like part of the reason why some of us opt out of that season of sitting down, or the season of restoration, for lack of a better word, is because it's ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, embarrassment, shame, guilt, like, all those things are they're ugly feelings.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, like, what I learned in that season was, the closer that I got to God, the more I spent time with God, the more he was like, look how ugly you are.
That's so good. Because really, even with the learning to hear him, it goes back to the simplicity of, let me spend alone quality time with the Lord. Yeah. Now, prayer is essential. If you are not praying, like, and I get it, like, there's all sorts of different prayers. You can pray whenever you sit down before a meal. You can pray, like, in the morning when you wake up, and you're like, thank you, Lord, for this day. But the prayer of just alone time with God is what's going to help you build that relationship and that intimacy to be able to hear his voice and to be able to discern, is it his voice? Is it my voice, right? Yeah. Is it the enemy? Because the enemy's going to come in and try to speak to you as well. So prayer is essential. But then, like you said, it's growing closer to him in that relationship of, like, solitude.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong, because I don't want to, like, convey the message that you have to be alone, because we don't encourage being alone, because we encourage community. But basically, like, a set apart time to remove the distractions, right? Remove the voices. There's nothing wrong with going to wisdom. There's nothing wrong with seeking advice. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having a sounding voice in your life that, like, that person that you're like, man, you know, I don't know if I'm tripping or not. Like, let me just double check my train of thought with this one person. But, like Pastor Ernesto said, like, don't let that be the replacement of the voice of God. Like,
facts.
Use it, but then still take your time to hear from him for yourself. And speaking into, like, falling into sin or in a season of, like you said, restoration, I think we really only get there because we started adding things and removing that solitude or that prayer life.
Facts.
That's really how you end up being there, because you're like, okay, boom, you know, you started, you're on fire for the Lord, you're, you know, serving everywhere, and you're like, you know, you're doing all the right Christian things, but then we get in our mind that, like, everything, like, it's good, I got this.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's whenever the distraction comes of, like, you don't need to pray that often. You don't need to fast. You don't need to read your word. You already know, you know, you heard
the
sermon.
You don't need accountability.
Exactly. And so then that's whenever the distraction comes in. And so, yeah, for those seasons, the tool, or should I say the treatment or cure, right, like we've used in the past, is to go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals of, like, be one with Christ first.
Even the prayers of, like, I don't know, like the prayers of brokenness, the prayers of like desperation, the prayers of being weak, like those don't necessarily have to be, like you said, in solitude, but they just have, they're a heart posture.
Yeah.
God honors your heart posture. Like, he's looking for a broken heart. He's looking for a desperate soul. He's looking for somebody who's hungering and thirsting for his presence, you know? And, you know, I think about, like, when you're saying the isolation part, I think about Jesus. Like, there was plenty of examples in the Bible where he separated himself. And he was, like, perfect. You know what I mean? He was God in the flesh. But even in that, even him being that, he took times to where it said he took some time alone, or he withdrew to go pray, and he withdrew to go spend time with the Father, because people are people, you know? And I'm not
saying... people are people. Yeah. Sorry, I heard aren't people, and I was like, no, wait, what are
people
they?
People are not people. People are people, and at some point, you know, if you're not listening to God, even them in... their innocence and their purity for you can lead you to distractions. So if you're not accustomed to, like, I'm going to go to God. And then I believe that God gives you your answer and people confirm it. You know, I believe when you go to God and you go to his word, you go to prayer, you go to worship, he'll confirm. I mean, he'll speak to you in certain aspects of your life. He'll give you direction, and your leadership and the people around you confirm it, because they're in tune with God as well.
I love everything that you just said, because I wanted to share on Hebrews 11, because in order for us to, you know, even have intimacy with the Lord, prayer, you know, all that sorts of stuff, we have to believe in him.
Yeah.
We have to have faith in who he is, and that he is good to do the things that he says he promises to do. Right. And so Hebrews 11 is all about the triumphs of faith. You know, it says, by faith in verse 3, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God. By the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. So that means nothing that is here on this earth was created by something that's here on this earth. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Then it goes on, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. And then this one, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Amen. And you can just keep going on and on, by faith, all of these amazing stories. But I love the Noah one, because exactly what you said, you might look different, you know, than what maybe is custom.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be wrong. But if God's telling you to do something, like build an ark whenever, you know, rain has never fallen from the sky, right? Yeah. But it could be something simple, right? It could be like, Pastor Juan gave a good example of this on the sermon, was, you know, God might be telling you to not get a different job because he wanted him. I think he was talking about his testimony of, like, he was only making $300 a month or something like that as a, you know, head of household or whatever. And it's like, to earthly wisdom and to even Christian wisdom, it's like, hey, man, you know, I think you should get this job. I think you should, you know, be making this sort of income so that you can provide for your family, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that the people are wrong in advising those things. Yeah. I mean, I'll just share my own. I quit my job, my career as a chef, to not work. Yeah. And that was crazy. Like, I had just, student loans. I had just graduated. I had just got this promotion. And so loving Christian people around me, my family, my friends, you know, they're just confused because they're like, well, that doesn't
make any sense.
But if I knew, and this is true, I knew what God had told me, then I just had to stick to that. Yeah. It's not a disrespect to the people who say, hey, well, don't you think you should just do this? Or, you know, maybe you can do that. It's like, no, I'm going to stick to what God told me, only because I had faith in who he was. But I also believed that he was going to continue to provide, that he was going to direct the path. So it's really that faith. We go back to having faith in who he is, and knowing that it's like, there's really no, there's no turning back on that. You know, but he's the greatest proof of it.
And he's, you knew what he told everything. You. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes that too, like, What's important is having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because then you know when he's talking to you, and then you know you can trust in him, and you know, like, he showed up. Because, I mean, I think that's what kind of strengthens your faith, you know?
Yeah.
Our consistent relationship with him and watching him show up, you know, watching him say, do this, and then we do it, and things take place.
Yeah.
Or watching him show up in your marriages or in your relationships or in your finances or in your addictions or setting you free from certain things. Watching God move is kind of what strengthens our faith to be like, you know what, like, it might be difficult, or because sometimes he is asking us to do things that we're like, what the heck?
Like, when people are like looking around you like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
But if you're not strengthening your relationship, then you might waver. Like, I don't know, imagine somebody was like, and the people who you trust and love who are like, nah, you should get a job. Like, and because of your relationship with Christ, you were able to say no. But if you didn't have that, and you were like, okay, I'm going to get a job, and it would just prolong.
Well, let me just say, I did have that moment because I've been at Get Right for so long that, like, some people forget. But it was funny because I was sharing with Pastor Juan and Ruthie the other day, and Miss Ruthie forgot of, you know, she's like, oh, I forgot you worked there. But I had that moment where I was like, okay, I said yes. No, you know, I'm not going to be distracted. And then bills started coming. And I was like, oh, I need it, because I think I was paying off a car and, like, other sorts of stuff. I still live with my parents, but, you know, early 20s. And I was like, man, you know, I really need to do this. Let me just get something. And so I went and applied for this position at Chick-fil-A. It was like a marketing position.
Yeah.
And I was like, not bad. Chick-fil-A, it's a Christian company. I'm going to be off on Sundays. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be off on Sundays. And so, you know, I went and did that. Man, it was not what God asked me to do.
Yeah.
So was it, like, wrong to do something that looked like God or good but wasn't God? Yes. Ultimately, I was like, man, you know, and I think I forgot how long I was there, but I wasn't there very long. And I knew, you know, that it wasn't what God had asked me to do.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, so I had to quit and put my 2 weeks in and stuff. And I was like, I moved based off of my faith in myself to say I have to work here to provide income for it, you know.
Yeah.
But then he's like, if you trust me, then, you know, everything's going to work out. And it did. I got this amazing job after that was, like, perfect for the position that I was in here at the church. And I was still able to. God was so cool in that moment, because I was in, like, this crush thing, because I've always wanted to be a chef. So I was like, I had just been promoted to being a chef, and then God tells me to quit. And then I'm like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
So, but then I'm like, but why do I have this passion for food, like, for making food and cooking? And, like, I love doing this and creating this. And so I was really struggling between those two things. And then the job that he actually had for me, not the Chick-fil-A job, the one that he actually had for me, I feel like it was this really cool transition that God did to show me, hey, I want you to still care and do the passion that I have given you, because he gifted me that passion also, while you're still able to, you know, say yes to what I've asked you to be at Get Wrapped. And that lasted a year, and it was phenomenal. Like, it was like, it there was no hiccups, there was no issues, like you said, with scheduling and all that sorts of stuff. It was from the Lord.
That's
so the one that I chose from Stephanie did not work out. Conflict, strife, even pay stuff where they were like, oh, well, we're going to pay you this and not that. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? So it was not from the Lord, but it was still good because I recommend for, like, teenagers. I'm like, hey, go work at Chick-fil-A. It's a great company, da da da. But it wasn't for me because it's not what God had told me to
do. It made sense in your human logic.
And so I want to get into the, now that we know how to hear God and believe him, what happens whenever our circumstances change and we get distracted, or maybe we just get overwhelmed or flooded with the negative thoughts? Because there's a scripture says, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So obviously this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. But for me, it was just basically the fact that you're not just walking around in this Jesus bubble. You've got a relationship with God, you know, you've practiced your prayer life, you've got wisdom and accountability, someone speaking into your life. But that doesn't mean that we are not in a spiritual warfare, that there's a very real enemy that's coming out to try to distract you, to try to you know, test you. We've got the Job story of like, okay, well, let's see, you know, let's see what happens when their finances are low. Let's see what happens when their position is taken, right? The being sat down. Let's see what happens whenever people talk badly about them. Cause we experienced that, right? People don't know the full story, and they might even know some of the story, right? But then they're talking about you. So then do I defend myself? Do I not? Do I say this? Do I clear things up? And so the enemy is using all of those tactics, which are old and recycled, but all of those tactics to what? Distract us.
Yeah. To veer us off track.
Yeah. And so our circumstances, finding ourselves in tough circumstances and being able to stay on the path. How do we do that?
I think for me, it's because sometimes it's easy for us to magnify the problem, you know, and I think that's what makes it harder to come back to God, is that all these things are happening in life, the, you know, the situation, the problems, the slander, and sometimes all at once. But, you know, I've learned and I've practiced, I got to tell my problems about how big my God is.
Yeah.
Not my God about how big my problems are. And just sitting down and being like, nah, man, God has gotten me out of this before. God has showed up here before. And how am I responding to this that's showing my faith?
Yeah.
Because sometimes even that, like, we say we have all this faith, but my response to my problems, I have no evidence of faith. Like, yeah, I'm being fleshy.
It's our own, it's our like own
my
response.
own strength, my own understanding, my own feelings. So now I'm not even showing the fact that, yo, I trust you in a situation, regardless of what it looks like. I'm putting my sense in it, or my feelings in. That for me is kind of like the difficult part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know that there's this thing that I always battle with God, where it's like, this is not your life. Like, you don't live for you no more. You live for me, and your life belongs to me. But it's kind of hard to live that way when I'm like, man, but everything's happened to me, God. Yeah. Like, these things are happening to me. Like, I'm going through this. I'm struggling with finances. I'm getting talked about. You know, my family members are dying. Whatever the situation is, how can I not go through these feelings and emotions? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that it's not so much that we can't have these feelings, but I can't live from them.
That's good.
You know, I can't live from the thought of being sad or losing somebody or being overwhelmed by the trials and the storms of life. I got to live from who God is. And, you know, funny that we're talking about this, because the devotional this morning that I was sharing was out of Proverbs, where he says, keep your mind on beautiful things.
Wow.
Like, keep your heart focused on beautiful things, because they refresh you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another one that says, everything that is noble, everything that is good, everything that is, I forgot the rest, but keep your mind on these things, because they refresh in us, and they remind us of the goodness of God. Because if we embrace the problem, if we embrace the trial, if we embrace the circumstance and we focus on that, we're going to be overwhelmed. We'll just be looking at the problem itself.
Yep.
It's the whole half empty, half full cup thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm looking at the emptiness of it, of course I'm going to want more. But if I'm looking at the fact that, yo, no, there's something in here, and this something I can do something with this something, you know, it changes the circumstance in the situation.
And I like that you said the perspective, right? Because a lot of times it has nothing to, like, our circumstance may never change.
Facts.
I know people who are struggling with chronic diseases that, you know, may go around, preach, pray for others, and healing is happening all around them, but they're not able to get the healing, you know, or people who are believing for a family member yet are sitting with families and mentoring and counseling them and seeing restoration happen, or seeing, you know, salvations happen, but still believing for their own. And so it's not about, man, I have faith so that the circumstance can change. It's through the circumstance. Where is my faith?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not just about what our surroundings or what our circumstance looks like. It's where are our eyes set? And so 1 Peter, I wanted to share with you guys 5:6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares about you. If I was at church, I'd say, everyone say, how much of your anxiety? Some? No, all. It says, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I don't know, like, girls probably relate. When I'm by myself and I'm going to the store, it's late at night and I have to run an errand or whatever, you're not behaving the same as if you're in broad daylight. I've got Pastor Nesto next to me, you know, Gerardo, my husband, all this, like men, it's not the same thing. Why? Because you know that you're more vulnerable. Yeah. You know that, you know, there is somebody out there that might see you as weak. And I think of that with this scripture. That's of good. Like, if we did that in the spiritual realm, that, hey, I'm not safe to go and, you know, chill with a guy friend by myself. I'm not safe to go and spend alone time with a woman if I'm married and all that sorts of stuff. I'm not safe to just, you know, watch whatever I want to watch and feed my mind thinking that I'm okay. Like, I can overcome this. It says, be of sober spirit, especially if we're talking anything that alters our sobriety.
Use wisdom.
Right? So anything like alcohol or drugs, it says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour him. To devour. It says, so resist him, firm in your faith. Mm. Firm in your faith. That's how you resist. You don't resist by, hey, call your pastor. It doesn't say, so resist him and, you know, text your hangout leader. No, it says, firm in your faith. That's how you resist him. So how can we resist him if we don't have faith? Amen. It says, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers and sisters who are in the world. Then it says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It says, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I like now, that. After you have suffered
for a little while. That's where I was going. Yeah. Exactly. After you suffer for a little while. So it doesn't say, oh man, I guess I'm, you know, God's not doing his thing, or I'm not, you know, believing enough because there's suffering in my life. That's not what that means. That's not how it works. It's the fact that, hey, you're going to suffer. And guess what? There's brothers and sisters in this world with you that are suffering the same.
Yeah. It's even like a foreshadow of like, yo, in your faith, even you rooted in your faith, you're going to suffer.
Exactly.
Because you're still going to face opposition. Mm-hmm. You're still going to, you know, be tempted. You're still, these things are still going to happen. But because you're rooted in your faith, you will have victory. Yeah. And although you're suffering a little bit, God, who is good and merciful, will pull up. I think the first part of that scripture where it says.
What translation was that? It's like, God will pull up. Okay.
Message translation. The urban translation. Yeah. The first part that it says. Humble yourself, you know, before the mighty hand of God, because I feel like sometimes we lie to ourselves and we say, I can go over there. I can be around these people. I can be involved in these things because I've been, I don't know, saved for this long or I have this much faith. And, you know, and that really shows a self-righteousness in ourselves, you know, and I think that that's the moments where maybe it's not God, or maybe sometimes it is God, sometimes it's the enemy, where he's like, all right, you know, like, you do, go ahead.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because we've got the saying, that's crazy, no, that's God. But then there's also those moments when we're like, that's crazy, and that is not God. Yeah. All right, that's just not God, straight
up. It might not be God, or it might be God, where he's like, okay, you think you can got it, go ahead. Or it might be the enemy, be like, okay, you got it.
Exactly.
I'm getting it, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, just being mindful of that, like, living from a place of, where you think you've arrived somewhere. Yeah. Living from a place where, like, I've been safe for so long that you feel like you're comfortable enough to get into certain conversations or go into certain places. I don't know, like, use wisdom, you know, especially for my brothers locked up in prison who sometimes have a hard time leaving affiliations because, you know, of what they know or who they are. Like, man, if you know that your past you will get in trouble in that scenario, will get in trouble in that situation, don't go. Like, just renounce it. You're better off not going at all than taking the risk, you know, and putting yourself in a position that might cause you more time or maybe even worse, get you hurt, get you killed.
Yep.
So I don't know. Humility is key in my walk is a dependency and urgency for the fact that, yo, I need you in everything. I need you in all my life. I need you in every relationship. I need you every second of my day because if I get to a place to where I feel like I got it together, I'm tripping. Yeah. You know?
Well, I hope this blessed some of you guys because, and I love what Pastor Ernesto shared because I think sometimes maybe for those who are incarcerated, our family in there is like, oh, well, that's easy for you to say. But even though maybe I don't have that experience, I see men and women coming out with that same testimony of like, hey, I renounced this while I was behind bars, or I applied this despite my circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what we're talking about. It's not like there's a separate guideline for being incarcerated or not. If anything, there's tons of letters in the Bible of those who were incarcerated and kept their faith in Jesus. And so I hope this blessed you guys today. Thank you, Pastor Ernesto, for joining me. We just pray that you continue being of a sober spirit, that you continue seeking him in intimate prayer and just being able to hear his voice for yourself. Find yourself a community. Find yourself good, wise counsel that can speak into your life, but be firm in your faith, not someone else's, not the pastor's, not your small group leaders. Be firm in your faith and know that there's brothers and sisters in this world who can walk alongside you no matter the suffering, no matter the circumstance. We love you and we'll see you guys soon.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.